Today's episode of the Animation Deliberation Podcast, we are covering Demon Slayer, Mugen Train, which is currently in theaters, right after these ads we have no control over. Sing along if you know the words. 1, 2, 3, 4, it's animation, deliberation, conversation, and a celebration of a favorite action animated series, yeah. Today on the Animation Deliberation Podcast, as I said, we are covering Demon Slayer. I'm very excited to be covering an anime. I am your host, Suher Ali. And joining me for this coverage is the always energetic Sarah Day McDougal. Sarah Day, how are you doing?
Hello, I am doing so well and so excited to talk about this movie.
It's nice to be able to record with you again.
Yes, yes, definitely.
So, there was a lot of emotions in this movie. Far more than I could have anticipated.
Yes, the emotional rainbow for sure.
So, let's kind of go through like our experience of the show. So, this show has one season. It's currently on Netflix. It's amazing if you guys haven't seen it. Like, this is your official spoiler warning. We're going to be nerding out. Please go watch the series before you listen to us ruin everything for you. My friend happened to text me and say, hey, this movie is coming out. Binge the show because we're going to go watch it in theaters. And I absolutely love the theater, so I was like, yes, any excuse to do so. Watch the series, and the show, or the season one of the show ends where this movie begins. So it's actually part of the story. It's canon, which I thought was fascinating. I've only watched the movie once. I've only watched the season of Demon Slayer once. So I apologize for any mispronunciations or if I happen to forget details here and there. I'm just very excited. You get to see genuine, raw expression of how I feel about this series. How about you? What was your exposure to this series?
So it's kind of a funny story. For those of you that don't know me, my husband Matthew, he told me about this anime. He's been getting me into a lot of different animes. So I was like, okay, let's try it out. After the first episode, can we go into spoilers? Are we like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, spoil away.
The first episode, the main characters, Tanjiro, his family gets slaughtered by a demon. Yep. And I'm talking little kids, his mother, like five characters slaughtered. And I was like, what are you having me watch? I'm not watching this. This is too dark for me. Not doing it. And he was like, okay, moving on. And then when the Zack Snyder's Justice League was coming out, I wanted to watch it to compare it to the other version so you and I could talk about it. And I asked Matt to watch it with me, and he said, let's make a deal. I will watch this with you if you watch Demon Slayer. So he did watch the movie with me. I had to go back to Demon Slayer. I am so glad I did.
The better end of that deal?
Oh, Matthew, for sure. This anime is... It is very dark. Sometimes it's still like I cringe and it's hard for me to watch some scenes. It's very, very dark, but it's also very lighthearted in some scenes, but it's beautifully animated. The music is fantastic. And to be honest, after seeing the movie, I am all in 100%. The movie was one of the best movies I've seen in a very long time. And it was our first date in a theater since all of this 2020 stuff happened.
Aw, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so with that, let's go into the movie. First, I want to talk about, like, the detail that was in this movie. Like, all the nerdy cinematic stuff that I really enjoyed. I want to give a big applause to the music. Like...
It was fantastic.
The series itself does such a good job at having, like, the cringiest music... Like, mm-hmm. It's very chanty, but it's, like, eerie whenever, like, one of the new demons is coming up. And I'm not a fan of, like, horror stuff. Like, I can't watch horror movies. So they really do a good job of setting up that essence that just gives mm-hmm. me the chills. Like, I'm just so uncomfortable right beforehand. But any hype music that came in, like, right before a battle sequence,
so
spectacular. So, so well done. And the last song that was in the credits, like, actually had me bawling. Like, my friend had to run out to use the bathroom. Just like, okay, take your time.
Yep. I agree. The music was fantastic. And to be honest, I don't remember appreciating the movie. I'm sorry, the music in the show. But during the movie, watching the movie, 100% what you said, like the hype before a battle scene, the eerie music, like I really noticed the music in this film. And I can't wait to see when season two comes out and hopefully I can pay attention to the music better.
I could see that perhaps in the series you kind of mute out the music because it's mm-hmm. the same tracks used throughout the series. So then you focus sure. on the dialogue a little bit more. And also, I think another factor is that I watched season one dubbed. So I'm listening to what they're saying and trying to listen to the music, whereas I'm reading subtitles so I could focus on the music a lot more right. when it came to the movie. And that kind of transitions into the next part. I think the Japanese voices are a lot more tolerable than the dub ones.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you if you saw it dubbed or subbed. I always watch anime with subtitles. I cannot do okay. the English dubbed version because especially with lighter shows like Fairy Tail, I feel like the English voice actors, I don't want to say dumb it down, but they're a lot more animated than yeah. I feel like. Of course, I don't speak Japanese. I don't know how they talk in the Japanese culture, but just watching the dub feels like it's just geared towards children as opposed to adults. So I don't know how season one, because this is a darker show, would have translated, but I definitely get what you're saying.
Yeah, in regards to tone, I could see it, like, it's over-animated. Sometimes the voice just get me. It depends on the show, though. So, like, Dragon Ball Z, I refuse to watch in Japanese because having that woman as a grown man just doesn't make sense to me. It made sense when he was a kid, but I can't handle that level of screaming every time he powers up, just very often. Naruto, I can go either way. I like subbed, but I'm okay with dub. Same with My Hero. But this is one where I watched a dub because I just don't have time for subtitles.
Right.
But for the movie, obviously, I didn't have an option. Like, my phone wasn't anywhere near me, so I got to enjoy subtitles for that one. And forgive me, I have to keep looking at the name list. Zenitsu mm-hmm. is the one that kills me in English.
I can imagine.
After I got my vaccine, I had a splitting headache, and every time he screamed, I wanted to throw something at the TV. It's so...
Yeah.
And, like, he does it a lot in the show. He does it a lot in Japanese, but it's, like, it is more comedic, and, like, yeah, it's over the top, but it's, like, tolerable. Whereas in the English one, I'm just like, no, can't do it. Please, shut up.
Yeah.
In comparison, the voice acting, I think, is just phenomenal that they do for these characters.
I've been reading a lot of reviews, and I have heard a lot about how Zenitsu is so annoying to so many people. And yes, he is, like, the most annoying out of the characters that we know, but I don't find him that bad. So I wonder if that's because I'm already used to the subtitles and that that tone as opposed to the dubbed version.
Yeah, going forward, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a weekly release thing, so I could get into watching subs for 20 minutes as opposed to binging over a whole day. Next thing I want to talk about is how great the graphics are.
Like,
I actually don't know how long the show has been out, but I imagine it hasn't been too long, but the movie, it was just beautiful. Like, all the scenes that they had of the train, like the B-roll shots of it, the yeah. train going through and the rocks and the grass and everything, like, that looked live action. It was mm-hmm. gorgeous. It was really cool whenever they cut to those scenes. And Demon Slayer does a really good job at, like, the environment is really detailed, but because the main characters move around so much, like, that's a little bit more simplified,
right,
for a lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes up for it when the action scenes kick in, because the art that goes into the element, the water, yes. the fire, the lightning, it, like,
It's amazing.
Paint that on my wall. Like, how do I get a muralist to do that for like an accent wall? Like, gorgeous, just so well done on the show alone, and the movie did not slack on it one bit. It was just so beautiful to look at.
So I am obsessed with, you know, like all things nautical, the water. If I had to choose an element, I would totally choose the water element. So whenever Tanjiro fights and uses, you know, his sword, I love the animation so much. But the fire is just as fire as the water. Yeah. It's everything is just so gorgeous to watch. And I'm just so excited to see where we go from here. And as they grow as demon slayers, how their attacks start to look, you know?
Yeah, it's beautiful. This is one of the few times that we get to see the Hashira at the full capacity too. And not to skip too much, but we see Rengoku use his flame ability a lot, which I believe in the show they said like there's a big difference between like a flame user and a fire user, so correct me if I start saying fire, but we get to see his flame ability. He flexes that very early in the movie. They're on the train because there have been reports of about 40 people missing off of this train, so they got a Hashira to be on the train to figure out what's going on. And, of course, they're accompanied by our main four, Tanjiro, Nezuko, who's chilling in the box most of the time, Inosuke, who's probably my favorite, and Zenitsu. So we see Inosuke on the train for the first time. I did not expect that at all. It's going so fast! I want to go out of the train and see who can run faster! And he's just so...
No, you can't jump out! You can't jump out!
He's just trying to pull him in. It's like, you idiot! Stay in here! The dynamic between those two and how much they hate each other is so hilarious.
We'll get to it at the end probably, but how the ending kind of circles back to this moment of him thinking the train is the demon. I like that they circled back and he was just kind of like, I knew it.
Is this during the dream sequence or did he say that before?
This is before they even boarded the train. When he's first seeing the train, maybe it was the season finale. I thought they redid it in the beginning of the movie, but he like tries to attack the train because he thinks that train is the demon because he's never seen one before. And Zenitsu is like, no, the train is how we like travel to the demon. The demon is like in the train.
Oh, I must have missed that.
So at the end, not to get too spoily now, but obviously the Enmo fuses with the train. So Ensuki and I'm so bad at these names. Inosuke essentially is right. Like, the train was the demon. And he was like, I'm the best leader. I was right.
This show is so clever. I love it. It's so good. The conversation between Tanjiro and Rengoku is pretty interesting as well. It's one thing that bothers me a little bit about anime movies is they spend a lot of time doing recap. Some of it I thought was a little stretched out, but overall it wasn't bad, just to kind of give an idea of the story and mention as much as they can. But with it being canon, I guess it was important for them to just make sure that everybody was on the same page on how the story was progressing. This was the first time that we see Rengoku after the whole trial of Tanjiro to determine whether or not that Nezuko could be part of the demon's lair. She needed to be executed at that point. So it was nice being able to dial in on these members of the Hashira. What did you think of him initially, like just throughout that conversation? Because it's the most dialogue we've gotten out of him since the trial.
I didn't know really what to think of him in the beginning, especially as he's eating his food and all he's saying is delicious, delicious, delicious. And then he's not looking at anybody. He's just looking, you know, straight at nothing. And then I'm like, okay, like what is this guy's deal? Where are we going with this? But he definitely proves himself as soon as he starts fighting. He's
At
amazing.
First, like, I see the comedic relief, even though it's the beginning of the movie, of him just, like, never making eye contact. And I think it's hilarious just because Tantril's, like, always pointing it out, too.
Yes.
But it is such a baller move because how I see it, like, from, like, an environmentally aware standpoint is that he's on a mission, right? So he's looking in one direction, but he sees everything type of thing. Like, he's looking from his peripherals more than the direction that he's in. Which makes it even funnier that he tells Tanjiro to sit next to him and not across from him. Because, like, hey, just sit over here so you're not blocking my... I know you're over there. It's fine. But his, like... I was just like, why does this guy smile so much? It's driving me crazy. And then you see it's the same reason as another member of the Hashira, whose name escapes me. Forgive me for not wanting to waste your time trying to look it up, but the one who deals with like insects and healing and bugs and whatnot, like she has her reason for smiling.
Shinobu.
Shinobu?
Shinobu, yeah.
She has her reason for smiling, and Rugoku seems to be following that same essence of like he's very leader mentality. He was like, I have to protect the people who can't protect themselves. I have to protect the people who train under me. And it's one of those things like when the movie ended and we saw so much about him, it made this initial scene so much more powerful, in my opinion.
Yeah. I've
Did
only
you
seen.
watch Naruto at all?
No.
Oh. Well, for people who have watched, it kind of reminds me of Might Guy and his final fight as well. Just really good character development. It's sad to see him go.
Yeah, it was very sad and very, I don't want to say disappointing, but I don't want to say I liked it either, but it makes the stakes so much higher that the first battle we see between a Hashira and one of the upper level demons does not go our way. So the next time we get a Hashira fighting an upper level demon, or the next time, what if one of our trio sees them? Like, they still have so far to go. It just makes it that much more intense that we know this is going to be a tough fight. And we, starting at the very beginning, we don't know if our Hashiras are going to beat the demons or not.
And also, all this time, I thought it was one demon. So, the correct me on this if you remember the top of your head. The conductor comes before they fight any demons, right? To click the punch cards.
I don't remember.
Okay. I thought that they came first because they were all kind of just like chilling together.
Right.
But at the beginning of the movie, this whole movie went before going in, I thought it was just going to be one powerful demon.
Right.
So it was cool that they had two lesser demons so that Rengoku had a chance to flex. Because he goes in, he just takes out the first one super quick. Tanjiro is just super impressed, like wow, like it was just effortless. It was one slice, but that thing was ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Just faces on two sides. You see everyone in the train freaking out, but he still maintains that smile and the speed, the way he just shot in a straight line and fire just going right down the alley, not touching anybody, not hurting anybody else, but just the trail of fire that comes in and just slices that head clean off. I was like, thank
Yeah.
you for cleaning that ugly thing so quick.
Yeah,
And then,
now that we're
sorry, go ahead.
talking about it, I think that the two demons were first because when he clips the ticket, that's the spell that puts them to sleep.
Oh, and the way the music kicked in with the lights flickering, it just got darker and darker and just, and the lights cut off. Oh my God, that gave me chills. It was so beautiful. And again, I hate horror stuff, and I just have such a high appreciation for like how they build the suspense and stuff like this. And then we get to the second demon, where at this point, Inosuke is like he just wants to show off because we learned in the first season that he has like a macho man complex, where like he wants to be the strongest, he wants to be the biggest, and when he struggled and a Hashira came in and knocked out the person with such ease, he was like that really hit his morale, and there was a whole arc on him trying to get like back up there and get his confidence back. So at this point, he's like, all right, now it's my turn. I want to go start balling. And you see how, in such a short amount of time, Rengoku actually looks at the situation of, we need to protect the civilian, I need to keep you guys safe, and then we can kill the demon. So with his speed, pushing one guy out of the way, saving the guy, and then it's like, hey, learning lesson for you guys, now it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
Slice it clean off.
It's also so interesting to see, like, speaking of Inosuke and his arc that we've seen so far, in this movie, we've seen how far the trio has come. Even Nezuko, like all four of them, how far they've come. But we also see how far they still have to go. Like, to see Rengoku and how amazing he is. And, like, we know that these three can get there, but it's going to be a long road.
Mm-hmm. It's really impressive. And, again, at this point, I don't even think I ever watched a trailer going to this movie. I never watched a trailer when I watched Demon Slayer, so kind of went in blind to it all.
Yeah, I sure did.
You went in blind, or you saw
a trailer? I went in blind. Yeah, I never saw a trailer.
Yeah, the hand talking to the kids was pretty creepy. I was like, is this the demon? And later we see it's just a part of him, but the fact that it just leaves and comes back is just, ah.
Yeah, I hated the hand the whole time. Yeah, I like, because that's how he gives his spell, is like holding it. Yeah. Oh, it was the worst.
And we see our heroes are passed out. They're all having their dream. Mm-hmm. And the whole concept is that you dream something that makes you happy and you get so enveloped in it that eventually you just stop breathing. And even the Hashira can't survive something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler, they do. but let's going one by one just to kind of talk about each character and talk about what their dream sequence is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start off with Zenitsu.
Yes, his the cracked best.
Me up. You want to tell about it?
Yeah, so if you guys are listening to this podcast and don't know any of these characters, haven't seen the show, Zenitsu loves women. loves women. And the main demon, Enmo, he puts them to sleep, but he's tethered four kids to each of the four demon slayers. And the child that is tethered to Zenitsu is a little boy. So he's like furious that this boy has entered his subconscious when he's dreaming about Nezuko. So he is chasing him with these giant scissors, looking crazed.
It's like hedge clippers.
Giant. Oh, gosh. They're giant. And he just looks crazy. And this poor little boy is just, like, running for his life. And he's just like, why are you here? And trying to chop him. Which is some comedic relief that we needed for these other, especially Tanjiro's subconscious.
Yeah. Just him being on a date with Nezuko and them just, like, flying through the woods. And, as we know, Nezuko's a demon, so she typically has, like, this mm-hmm. mouth guard in, so she doesn't accidentally bite anybody, but, like, it's off, and she has dialogue, and they're just frolicking through the woods. I'm like, oh my god. This dude's creepy. It's really creepy.
He is.
And he also has this, like, split personality, because when he's in fight mode, he's such a badass. I love his voice, the action, the intensity. Like, it's so great.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that part of him came out in his subconscious when he was attacking the person.
Right.
They killed that so quick. That was mm-hmm. not the case.
Right. Because we only see him attack legit when he has been knocked unconscious or when he's sleeping or something. We never see. He doesn't know how good of a hero he is because he's always asleep.
Yeah. It's wild. And then we go over to the next dream, which was also hilarious, which is Inosuke's,
mm-hmm.
where you see him. So his dream comes after Zenitsu's. And you see him walking with Nezuko. And Nezuko has the mouth guard in this time. So I was like, is he dreaming about her too? Like, that's really, really freaking weird. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out that she's just one of his minions.
Yep.
And Tanjiro and Zenitsu are minions as well, but Zenitsu's like a squirrel. Like, he's got this big buck teeth. He's got a dorkier voice. And they're, like, going through this cave, like, going on adventures because he's, like, the big tough boss. And they see, right. like, this big creepy demon. They're like, come on, minions, let's go fight.
Which also, again, ties into his line at the end, like, I am the best leader or whatever. Like, he just wants to be a leader so badly.
Yeah, he wants to be the badass. He wants to be the strongest. He wants to be the leader. He's got a great arc because he's the type that it's like, he comes off as, like, big and macho, but he shows emotion a lot. Mm-hmm. It's really heartfelt whenever he does, like, when he lost the fight against the spider demons, like with how useless he felt, despite how awesome of a fight it was.
Uh-huh.
It was just, like, heartbreaking to see him just, like, really destroy. Like, he's just laying in the bed, like, not talking. And for him not to talk is a big deal.
Right.
It's just the character development in such a short amount of time is just very well done.
Right.
That being said, one of the funniest things I thought was when he got his new swords. And I was like, huh, they didn't put the bites in chips, like they did in the first one. Because I thought the swordsmith did that. And he just grabs a rock and starts, like, putting it in himself. Yeah. And the swordsmith's like, what are you doing? Yeah, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, that was a funny moment. They're definitely two good comedic relief characters that
for
the
sure.
show really, really needs for people like me.
Yeah, I think if they didn't place it where they did, like, I'd be crying a lot more than I would. Because, like, start to tear up, laugh. But I'd be bawling if it wasn't that. And speaking of bawling and crying like a baby, do you want to talk a little bit about Rengoku's dreams?
Yes. So it's been a few days since I saw this. And he had a few flashbacks, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but this was when his father was asleep or reading, and he was talking about how he's going to be a great demon slayer, and his dad is basically like, I could care less.
Yeah.
And then his little brother comes out, and I honestly, I don't remember the conversation they had in this part of the dream. I know we saw that later.
That was the dream part of it, where his dad was laying down. He tells him that he's a Hashira. And he was like, so what? It doesn't matter. And then he goes over to his little brother. His little brother is like, hey, how did dad respond? Mm-hmm. Like, what do I need to do to get a reaction? He was blunt with him. He was like, you know what? He didn't care. The big smile that he has. And he just says, like, you know what? You need to do what makes you happy. If you want to train, let's train. But we don't have to worry about his approval anymore. Which I thought it was interesting that this was his dream of, like, peace. His happy moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a later scene, he has a flashback where he's talking with his mom. So it's interesting that it wasn't a scene of him interacting with his whole family as a whole. Before his mom was sick, or maybe, like, she did survive, and the dad was another great demon slayer, and he was training with his brother, like... It was interesting that his subconscious took him to just his brother and not his family as a whole.
Well, I wonder if it's like the moment of realization that you're cutting this toxicity out of your life, and that is like inner peace, that you're coming to terms that that's a toxic relationship. I'm done with it. I'm focusing on this, my little brother, and I'm going to make sure that he isn't going to get the same, you know, emotional abuse that Rengoku went through.
Yeah, I think it was just an opportunity to see what his family relation was like.
Yeah.
And it seems like his brother might be a character that pops up in the near future.
Oh, absolutely. I think his final wish was for Tanjiro to go tell his family these things.
Yeah.
I think we have to see his little brother. And he needs to get those books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to learn about his dad's fire dance, because there's a lot of mystery behind this element.
Yeah.
And we learned that it is very Naruto like in which that there's five elements. There's fire, water, air, they call it stone, but I'm guessing like along the lines of earth, and then lightning, and then the other elements are
offshoots
off of that, which I like that they went into that sooner than later. Because there's a lot of interesting abilities that we see with like the beast modes and the insect modes, and we got a guy that works with snakes, so it's like how far off of each element are they? Do they have some type of relationship to each element? Like it's a cool thing that I feel like they're about to delve into. Mm-hmm. And for the listeners, in case you haven't been able to tell, neither of us read the manga. We're just going off of the shows. Again, I don't have time to read as much as I'd like to. But I'm also into cinematic stuff, so it's the visual storytelling is more entertaining for me personally.
I'm glad that they went into that breakdown of the different elements and all the offshoots, because I don't know that I really understood that before this movie. And maybe that's because I wasn't really paying attention at the beginning, because I didn't love the show at the beginning. But getting that breakdown in this film was really beneficial to me. It just... a lot of things clicked at that point. Like, oh, yeah, there is all these different... I mean, we've seen them, but I don't know if they never really explained it that way before.
Yeah, I don't think I fully understood it either, because there's 12 members of the Hashira, and each of them have their own ability.
Right.
So that made me wonder, like, is there an ability for... is there actually, like, 12 different arts, and there's a master of each one? If that's the case, where does Tanjiro eventually fall into? Where does the beast mode fall into? So that's where the questions started coming in. So this kind of cleared up a lot of that stuff. And now I just kind of want to see how these sub-abilities start to fill in, and if they have any access to do like what the mothering ability actually is. And they even mentioned that because Tanjiro's sword is black, that it's somebody who can't decide on an element. Mm-hmm. And we've seen him use water and fire, so as like... is he going to be somebody that's able to use multiple, like more than this?
That's my prediction. I think that he already seems to not so much master the water stuff, but he's getting the knack of that. And he's obviously going to learn fire because of the fire dance that his father did. He's going to follow in those footsteps. So I 100% think definitely water and fire, if not more.
There may even be a situation where he has to prove himself to Rengoku's dad that he's worthy of those scrolls.
I like that.
That could be what gets him out of bed to just kind of like give a big fuck you.
Wow. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how the next season starts and how this interaction plays out for sure.
And the last dream sequence that we have is Tanjiro himself. Which, as we covered at the beginning, the first episode is him leaving town to sell his charcoal, and he's helping people. He gets so caught up helping people and just being a good human being that he spends the night somewhere, comes home, and his whole family is just murdered by demons, and his one sister, Nezuko, has turned into a demon herself. And he wakes up in this dream of everybody being alive, and he's conscious that they're alive. It's not like he just wakes up in this fantasy world. He sees his brother and sister and like runs up to hug them, just saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Mm-hmm. They're asking like, "What's wrong?" And then you see him start to change a little bit. He's not in his uniform anymore. He has his longer hair again. He doesn't have a sword. So you see him like reverting back into his normal life, starting to forget. Like he's forgetting why he's saying the things he does, and not as concerned about Nezuko in the same regard because the sun's out, and speaking to his mother and his siblings and playing with them. And it was heartbreaking to see him like with his family. Like we've only seen the interaction for so much within season one, but like it was enough to just be like, oh no, why do we have to watch this right now?
It definitely hurt. I mean, I'm getting teary-eyed now thinking about it, especially later when he realizes he's in the dream. His subconscious wakes up, and he knows he needs to leave, and he's saying goodbye. And the little brother, the littlest brother, is like, "Don't leave us! Don't leave us!" Just through the heart.
Yeah.
He can't even. And look even back.
Like as he's running, like he hasn't heard Nezuko's voice in all this time either.
Yeah.
So when she says, "Like, big brother, where are you going?"
Mm-hmm.
He loses it. Everyone catches up, and then his younger brother starts to yell for him, and you see him start to change. His hair goes back to how it was. His uniform kicks in. The sword's coming out, so he's breaking away. But like, he can't stop crying.
Yeah,
like, he got imagine a little glimpse of having his family back. Mm-hmm. he's like, I'm so sorry, but there isn't a time that I'm not thinking about you. And it's like,
yeah. Ugh. It was definitely tough to watch all that. And the decisions that he has to make, obviously he realizes to wake up physically, he needs to kill himself in the subconscious.
Yes!
So not only does he have to say goodbye to these people that he loves and he misses and get to be with Nezuko, he has to kill himself.
And he doesn't know if it's going to work.
Yeah, that too. It's like, what an intense sequence.
And it goes from this intensity to another bit of comedic relief when Nezuko comes out of her box. She's like, everyone's sleeping. Like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And she notices the rope. She sees Tanjiro, like, flipping out. I don't remember what he was saying in his sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But she just straight headbutts him and starts crying. I was like, oh, poor little thing. Like, I know it's going to regenerate.
And she's in her chibi form.
Yeah, she's so tiny. But at this point, I totally forgot that she has demon art now. And her blood, like, explodes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how season one wrapped up. Mm-hmm. And he just catches on fire, and like all of it's just like clicking, like in his dream, and it's like, oh, this is a dream. Nezuko's trying to wake me up right now, and I was like,
right.
But then when he finally wakes up, like you expect it to be a heartfelt moment, but she's just sitting there crying, like holding on to her head. Because
yeah, I do really like Nezuko a lot. She's one of, if not my favorite character.
She's so adorable, especially like when everybody's eyes are just like single black dots.
Yes,
that's the most adorable thing. I love it so much.
Yeah, but she's so adorable. But at the same time, although we didn't see it too much in this movie, but she's so badass as well. Like, she's really coming into her own. Obviously, she knows she wants to be human again. She's fighting the demon side of her. She's just such a awesome character, well balanced, well rounded. I just can't wait to see how this ends.
Yeah, so at this point, I think Inosuke is the next one to wake up, because Tanjiro's already on the roof of the train. He tells Nezuko to stay back and watch out for the people.
Mm-hmm.
He finally gets the opportunity to go and confront Enmu.
Mm-hmm.
But again, his power is so creepy. Gave him the heebie-jeebies, like hit the mouth on his hand is what's telling him to go to sleep. So it's just this endless him falling asleep, chopping off his own head, waking up. But that water dragon is so badass. So, like, as he's like shifting around, like the dragon's going with it. And I think one of my favorite scenes is when he finally got the cut in, like on the initial body. Like, you see the sword make contact, it stops, and then the water dragon just comes, like, off-screen. And wow, the visuals are just so amazing in this series. I cannot get over how beautiful it looks.
And the music in that scene as well. When Enmo starts to realize that he's not fighting being put to sleep, he is being put to sleep, and he's killing himself every single time to wake up from the dream. And, like, the music, the buildup of that and the animation and the music, it was just, like, that got me emotional, too.
Yeah, it was really well done. And here's one of the quirks that I had with the movie, was that he got the head chopped off, and then we find out that he's still alive. There's this big blob that comes out of the train, his head's on top of it, and that's when the reveal happens that he is the train. What I didn't like is that he merged with the train, like, in that moment, like, while they were sleeping. I would have liked if he said something. This is probably, like, my only, like, big quirk with the movie. I would have liked if it was something along the line of, like, of the 40 people he consumed, like, each one gave them the ability to merge with it more. And then he was, like, at a good capacity by the... He was building up for this... the fight with the Hashira. That would have amused me more than, oh, I just happened to do this at this convenient timing.
Sure.
So that's why I was like, okay, that irked me a little. But with Inosuke waking up on his own because he's chasing the person invading his subconscious with his minions, as he put it, and those two fighting together was epic.
Amazing.
What were your thoughts on that fight scene?
It was so great to see this so soon in the overall story too, because again, it goes back to how far they've come already, especially for Inosuke, like to see him fighting with Tanjiro, and he saves him at one point, because Tanjiro thinks he's in the dream, but he's really not. So he almost kills himself for real. And just the whole build up to that scene and coming up with the plan and executing the plan, and all of the ways that the plan gets thwarted and they have to work together. I'm really excited to see how not only these two work together, but the three of them, the four of them, start to work together more and more as we move forward in the story.
So you mentioned the plan. The dialogue throughout the fight scene was really interesting. And it's nothing new with Inosuke, of whenever people tell him what to do, he's like, no, I'm the boss. This is my plan. But Tanjiro, he's all about the mission, so he's always like, yeah, good job. Yeah, that was you. Okay, I'll listen to you, even though it's like, he's feeding into it so that they can just focus on that. It's not like him and Zenitsu, who are just butting heads all the time. But at one point, Tanjiro comes up with the idea, like, hey, let's synchronize our breathing. You fight the part that's defending, and then I'll go in for the final hit. And he was like, that's such a good plan, I'm going to give you credit for it. And I was like, it's such a beautiful moment. It's like, I want to be the badass, but I'm going to acknowledge your great idea over here. So good job, buddy.
Yeah.
At this point, while this fight is going on, we see that Nezuko is protecting the people. So she gets big, eyes get wild, the nails come in, and she's just going wild on the train attacking the people and just protecting everybody. She's stomping and slashing, and that whole sequence was really cool. As the train starts to like grab onto her, and you're like, what is she gonna do? Like, I thought she was gonna like find a way to like stab herself and then have like the blood do the work,
right?
But no, we get to see that little sliver of Zenitsu actually being awesome.
Yeah. So this leads me to one of my big theories for the actual end of the entire story. Obviously, we haven't read the manga, so Nezuko is the only one so far that has seen Zenitsu actually fight. And she, not acknowledged, but remembers that. Mm-hmm. So obviously the whole thing is trying to get her to go back to human. So I think she will be the one to tell him finally, like, you can fight. You fight in your sleep. I want him to realize beforehand, but we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, the whole split personality thing is a really interesting approach. I'm hoping we either get some... Actually, no, they have showed the backstory of his.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm hoping he grows up a little bit. Like, I love the relationship that Inosuke and Zenitsu have, but when it comes to these intense situations, like, I want the confident version of him, not the whiny mm-hmm. bitch version. And the way that he just shoots through the train and like just bounces around with slicing through, and like his head's just tilted down, he's holding the one stance.
Mm-hmm.
And Tanjiro even says from the top, "Was like, was that thunder just now? Is Zenitsu here? He's awake. Cool." And then at this point, Rengoku wakes up too. He's like, "Wow, this much happens in the time that I was sleeping. Like, I should be ashamed of myself." And he's like, "I'll handle 5 of the cards. You handle the rest.
The other three. The three and, of like, you Tanjiro handle the
other three." Tanjiro can't even, like, carry on with what he's doing because he was like, "You're going to cover 5 cards by yourself?" And him being as fast as he is, just slicing, burning everything up. And it was, man, that the level of detail in all of those fight scenes was just so beautiful. It was so well done.
Mm-hmm. And intense. Every fight scene we saw got more and more intense and, like, amazing. I don't know. It's just a great movie. I can't wait to see it again.
Just watch the movie, guys. Yeah, I think the only thing I wanted more of was the synchronized fighting with Inosuke and Tanjiro.
We'll
like,
get it.
Going through and, like, I mean, just saying in that part.
Yeah.
In that part alone, it was just so well done. It's like, I want more. No, extend it. Don't stop it now. I want this part more. And aside from those fight scenes, when we got to this part of the movie where Tanjiro finally gets that slice in, it was creepy every time the whole train screamed and like the masses like actually like seized and spazzed and all that stuff. It was, again, gave me the chills. But when the train finally crashed, you find out everybody's okay, villain's defeated. At this point, in my head, the movie was, oh, that's not bad. It was a fun movie. I enjoyed the series. It could have been more seasons of the show, but okay, I liked it. And then we get the big bad, Akaza.
The real
this big movie bad. Is nowhere near over. We have there a is lot a lot of more. Shit that goes. Yeah. We have a lot of shit still going on, and I was like, I was sitting at the edge of my seat. I was like,
yes,
what is about to go down?
That final battle was one of the best battles that I've seen in a long time, if ever. Like,
yeah,
you're right, on the edge of my seat. I think I was sitting like this the whole time.
Yeah, that's exactly how I was. Like, my for those who are trying to obviously can't see what we're doing, like, my hands, my knees, my blah, blah, all the appendages were doing something. My elbows were on my knees with just, like, my hands together over my face, like, what's going on? And one of the things I really appreciate about the show is that when somebody gets an injury of some sort, it's actually a factor. It's not like,
right,
my power is going to make me fight through this. It's like, no, I just got stabbed in the stomach. I physically can't move right now. And before Akaza comes up, Rengoku is trying to tell him, is like, remember your breathing, remember your total concentration, like, hold those vessels, find where you're hurt. And I like that they show that these abilities and these tactics can go, like, this far into, like, the self-development and the recovery and whatnot. And we see him trying to use that because he takes a lot of bad hits.
A lot.
And when the fight starts, it's so fast that, like, Tanjiro and Inosuke are both watching the whole time. And Inosuke's frozen. He was like, I can't find an opening.
Right.
I want to help out. And even if I try to, I'm just going to get in Rengoku's way. He's shivering. He can't hold his sword still. That's how much, like, the intensity of this fight is freaking him out.
And again, that just goes back to how much he's already grown as a character, that he knows he will get in the way if he tries. Yeah.
It happened on the train where it's like he tried diving in first and he had to be rescued. He didn't admit to it, but we as an audience were just kind of like, he didn't want to repeat that. He's like, I'm following your orders at this point. You deserve my
respect.
My respect. And that fight was just insane. Like, you see him going toe-to-toe. We think that our hero is going to be doing okay. And then he loses an eye. He loses a rib. He gets hit in the stomach. And, like,
everything.
All of his moves were amazing. Like, the timing of everything and when he did it was just so beautiful. But, like, the villain, Akaza, who is one of the top demons, who's killed Hashira members before, he's been a demon for centuries, was saying, it's like, dude, be a demon. You're not even at the peak at your physical ability right now. So it's like, to find out that he died before he ever hit his peak, he was like, you could be a fighter with me, we could fight for eternity, we could do this, we could do that. And he was just like, I'm going to protect those beneath me, I'm going to do my job, do it with a smile on my face. And at first, it was like, you see the intensity. Like, his face has just dropped. We've never seen him frown or frustrated this much before. And then towards the end, when he's hitting, like, his final moves, that's when the smile really kicks in. And he's just like, man, it was amazing. I need to watch just that fight scene alone over.
Yeah. Again. Listeners, if you don't watch the show, just go see this movie for this fight scene. It was amazing. Like, you need to do this for yourselves.
I'd be worried if you guys have been listening this far and haven't watched the show or the movie yet.
If you're listening and haven't watched it, obviously you appreciate animation. Therefore, should go see this movie and see this fight scene.
That's what I love about this cast, too, is that so many people overlook how great the storytelling is and how beautiful these fight sequences are because it's animated.
Right.
And it's like, no. It's good stuff.
And I think a lot of anime, exactly. I think a lot of anime shows have great stories and have such heartfelt arcs. And it gets such a bad reputation for being animated. And it's like, no, it's like my 16-year-old cousin is dating a boy who likes anime, and she's like, but it's anime, like that's weird. I'm like, but it's so good. Like, watch it with
It's really
him.
good.
Yes. But she's like, I'm 16, I'm not gonna watch a cartoon. I'm like, it's not a cartoon. It's an animated story.
This movie's rated R, y'all. It's rated R.
Exactly.
For a good reason.
Right.
And yeah, it's one of
It's
those
dark.
things, one of those things I appreciate about anime too, is that like they'll go on for like 8 to 10 years, but they know where they want to start, they know where they want to end. And yeah, you have filler episodes here and there, which you can find a list that lets you skip over that, but like it knows the direction that it's going in, whereas like a lot of TV series is kind of like, well, we got renewed for another season, like how do we make the most money out of this?
Right. Which is why I'm so excited, like I've told you over and over again today, to see where this goes. To see how these characters grow as heroes and what happens to Nezuko. Does Zenitsu ever figure out he can fight? How does Inosuke, like how does this all play out in the end? And I just can't wait. Like I know it's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah. That's the annoying thing about anime too, is you gotta wait like 2 years between each season.
Which I haven't ever watched an anime live. So this will be my first time having to wait this long. All of the animes I've seen have been they're seasons and seasons and seasons already.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting thinking back on Naruto because it wasn't too far into it when I started, but that was in middle school when it started, and I was in college when it ended. That was a long time to tell a really good story. But yeah, this fight ends up with him using his ninth form. He goes in with, I mean, it was awesome. You see the slash like go right up the chest, and you think that it's like cool, like our hero's actually gonna survive. But arm through the chest. And he still manages to slice through and get the blade to the neck. Couldn't quite break through. But at this point, it was really cool how Tanjiro was like, this is our opportunity. We have to help out no matter what. And Inosuke actually has the speed to go dive in and actually like shoots up and goes. And I was like, oh my God, he's actually going to help. This is going to be super awesome. And Akaza, just being the badass that he is, just broke both of his arms off. And just managed to run away, which it was cool that Tanjiro like threw the blade into him to try to slow him down. Hopefully he doesn't have to go get his third blade in such a short amount of time. But Rengoku's sword is broken and he's just like he's dying. And Tanjiro's like, dude, save your breath. It's like, nope. No, I'm
I need to
dying.
tell you.
Can't do anything about it. Have a conversation with me. We have things to talk about. We need to finish our discussion from before because
Before we go
the
into that,
dreams.
I want to go back to their battle and how Rengoku is getting hurt and hurt and hurt. And this asshole is just healing
Regenerating.
himself over and
Yeah.
over and quick, like the fastest we've ever seen. And it's like, come on, this is, ugh, it's just frustrating to watch.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because Tanjiro's dialogue, where it was like, you didn't win this. You're a demon that's running away like a coward because the sun is coming up. Like, if it wasn't for your stupid regenerative ability, like you would have been dead 20 times over. Like, our guy won this. You guys are pathetic.
And the most important thing is not a single passenger died.
Yeah.
Rengoku saved everybody. And that is the main reason why he said, Rengoku won. You didn't kill anybody. And
Yeah.
you're the coward. And I am excited to see the battle between Tanjiro and Asuka.
Yeah.
We have
That was
some
a rough
intense
one to
battles coming up.
do. Yeah.
I mean, this
Very, a
one,
lot of emotional filled ones.
our first one was crazy.
Oh man, the crow crying.
Oh, I know.
'Cause like when the crow comes up, that's when it's like, okay,
It's
he's here
time.
to like mark history. Like something's about to go on. And as he's flying away to like deliver the message, like he cries too, and I'm like, no.
Yes. And to
You
see
see the
all
reactions of all the
yeah.
Hashira and
And it was interesting to see how they all reacted, because we've seen a little bit of their personalities. But this was a good way to see how they react to bad news, and just give us a sneak peek into what we're going to see and how their characters are also going to grow in the series.
Yeah, and there was quite a few of the Hashira that were like opposing keeping Nezuko alive. And it was really important that we had dialogue of Rengoku saying, like, I approve of this. I watched her protect people. She's she's part of the Demon Slayer Corps, as I'm concerned. And that's something that's going to irk a lot of people. But we're going to see where the story really goes with that.
Yeah, I'm going to go buy my tickets right now to see it again.
If you can. Those theaters were, like, packed. I mean, within capacity standards, but they were packed. It was really hard to find tickets.
Yeah, I think we got, like, there were four left when we went to buy our tickets.
Yeah.
So, and we got two of those.
Yeah. It's worth watching in theaters again. That was...
For sure.
Amazing. There was another point that I wanted to hit, and it's just slipping my mind now. Oh, what really, really got me more than the crow was when everybody was crying and Inosuke is like, shut up, stop crying. He stops saying, how am I supposed to like be better than him or part of him or whatever? Like, he gave you his blessing. He said that he believes in us. And like at this part, that's what I love about Inosuke is like, he comes off as the hard ass, but like we see him, like how he really dwells with stuff. And even at this point, like, I'm about ready to just lose it. I'm about to start, like, bawling. And Zenitsu goes, but you're crying too. Boom! Classic headbutt. I'm not crying. Who said I'm crying? And then he's just punching Tanjiro, like, let's go train.
The tears are coming out of your mask.
It's like, we gotta train right now. Like, we can't waste time. Like, he sacrificed himself for us. And for him to, like... say so much and so little was just, man, he's such a powerful character. It's amazing. And I hate that I was so attached to Rengoku in this movie, and now like he's just dead. So his
they really
fantastic character,
they really made you care about him early on in the film, and just his arc that we've seen in just a 2-hour movie was incredible. So you're right to see the rest of the Hashira and how they all, like, what their arcs are, how they interact with the core four, and just, are we going to care about anybody? I mean, we've seen a lot of Shinobu, but the rest of them we haven't really seen too much. Well, the one guy, the first guy that has saved him in the spider-infested woods.
Oh, yeah. Tomioka. I love that dude. He's just so graceful. Yeah, I can't wait to see a lot more of him.
Yeah, it'll just be interesting to see how we feel about the other, especially those who don't want Nezuko in the core. Do we care about them, too? How do they... You know, how do their battles play out? If anyone else dies, how are we going to feel about those deaths? Because this one, Rengoku, was so heartfelt and so impactful and really, like, affected the viewers.
Yeah. A lot of good story to still be had. Keep your tissues ready.
I sure will.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
I think we covered it. Do you have any predictions for the rest of the series?
Man, like I said, the show is just so new. Listeners, as much as we'd love to hear your feedback, try not to spoil any of the manga stuff for us if you've read it. Let's just kind of keep with what we've seen on screen so far, because I love the show and I want to go in blind as much as I humanly possible. Yeah, I don't have any wild predictions except what I said, that Tanjiro is going to approach Rengoku's father at some point, and he's not going to want him to see the information or not care what he has to say, because it seems like he's going through some stuff right now. So either the little brother's going to step up, or Tanjiro's going to have to find Rengoku's father. I think that's about the only prediction I have.
Yeah. I like the idea of his little brother giving him the books.
Yeah.
But I definitely think the next season is going to start out, either they'll be on their way or they'll be there already to Rengoku's family.
Yeah. Anything else?
No. Go see the film.
Go see the film. Go watch it again and again. I'm going to find that clip on YouTube and cry myself to sleep now. All right. Love to hear feedback from you guys. So you can hit us up on Twitter at @animationdelib1, or you can email us at animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us on the Stranded Panda chat on Facebook. Love to hear your feedback, your thoughts, your predictions, what you thought of the movie, all of your wow moments, and hopefully we can cover some more anime for you guys soon. Check out strandedpanda.com for all of our affiliate podcasts. We have the flagship show, MCU Cast, Star Wars Universe podcast, where we're really going to be talking about Bad Batch, and others such as PandaVision and Bingers Assemble. Typically, Jay Scotty does all this, and I'm trying to like recollect everything at the last second. We also have trivia, 7 o'clock Central. Every Wednesday, lots of cool prizes. Come on by, hang out with us afterwards, ask us questions, have a chat. Always a good time every week. And I think that is all. Sarah Day, thank you so much for joining me on this.
Thank you so much for having me.
Everyone, enjoy the rest of your day and stay whelmed.